But Nabokov has the computer following.
We thank you very much for coming to attend this program today. This is a program, how to become happy. In this world, everyone is more or less unhappy. There's some happiness, but then we have to put up with so much unhappiness. So, Mataji and myself are traveling all over the world to share with everyone the secret of how to become unlimitedly happy. So we hope that you can take advantage of this information today and make your life supremely successful. In this material world, people measure happiness by how much money you have, how much fame you have. So we have come today to bring you this wonderful formula of how you can become completely, totally happy. How you will never be touched with anxiety ever again in your life. Does that sound good to you? That sound good? Ah, very good. Yes. So the secret formula is this. Within your heart, actually, you have unlimited happiness right now. You simply have to learn how to extract it from within. A man may be dying of thirst in the desert. But if he can drill a hole deep enough through the desert floor, he will find a big supply of water there. So we are in the desert of this material existence. We are suffering so many anxieties when unlimited happiness is right there within us. We simply have to know the drilling process, that's all. There is an ancient science called Mantra Yoga. That mantra is like a drill. Which will penetrate through all the coverings of your heart. And allow you to connect with that unlimited reservoir of happiness. That is there within you at every minute. If you simply chant these names, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Then you will reconnect with the original reservoir of unlimited happiness within your heart. It is called Krishna consciousness. So at the present time, the entire world is suffering because they are lacking Krishna consciousness. They have everything else. They have money. They have food. They have clothing. They have means of transportation. They have so many types of entertainment to make them think that they're happy for a little bit. But without being connected with the Lord within your heart. I'm sad to say, the whole thing is very dry and very empty. We just somehow struggle through our lives, wondering why we're living, being forced to work like dogs while we get sick, while we get old, and while we die. When I was a college student, I said, this is not enough. Simply to study hard, to make good grades, so I can get a good job, and a nice house, and a pretty wife, and some kids, to get sick, to get old, and die. It's not worth it. It's just not worth it at all. Why even make any endeavor? It is confirmed in an ancient book of wisdom called the Srimad Bhagavatam. Shrama eva hi kevalam. That any activity which does not reconnect you with the Lord within your heart. Any activity which does not enable you to connect with that unlimited happiness, that unlimited reservoir of happiness within your heart. Ishrama eva hi kevalam. It is simply a useless waste of time. So we are not saying that you should give up your occupation, or you should give up your education. But we are saying this. Vidyam cha vidyam yastad vedo vayam saha. That a train runs on two tracks. So you have to have, naturally we all have the material aspect of our life, our education, our occupation, our duties, etc. You cannot run on that one rail only. A train on one rail will crash. It will go off the track. But if there's two rails, then the train can run nicely down the track. So the second rail is your spiritual life. You must reconnect with the Lord within your heart. And as Mataji has very nicely pointed out, your spiritual rail is actually the first rail. It is the primary rail. And the material rail is secondary, it's not as important. Even if your material life is in a shambles, even if it's all disrupted, if your spiritual life is strong, you will be peaceful and happy. But on the other hand, if your material life is very together, you're rich, you're famous, you're powerful, and your spiritual life is very disruptive, then all of that material success will not buy you 1 minute of genuine peace or happiness. So we should always put our spiritual life first in all times, all places, and all circumstances. When a man walks down the street, His shadow follows him wherever he goes. So if you become strong in Krishna consciousness, your material situation will follow you just like a shadow. If you're nicely absorbed in Krishna consciousness, your material situation will become free of anxiety. So only a foolish person would not seriously take up Krishna consciousness, because it benefits you spiritually, which is your eternal well-being, and it benefits you materially also. But the devotee does not take to Krishna consciousness for any material benefit. As long as we approach God for material benefit, we may get our material desires fulfilled, but we won't get the Lord's special mercy. When a devotee of the Lord fully surrenders himself to the Lord, the Lord becomes his personal property. But if you simply approach the Lord to get something from him, you will get that thing, but you won't get him. The point is, if you can have Krishna as your property, that is greater than anything that you can possess within this material world. Does anyone have any questions?
Какую роль играет милость для тех, кто принял абсолютную истину, и для тех, кто ее не принял?
How important is mercy for those who accepted absolute truth and those who did not?
How important is the truth? How important is mercy? Mercy is all important. Without the mercy of Krishna, without the mercy of Guru, you're going nowhere. We sing every morning in Mangalarti, Yasha Prashadat Bhagavat Prashado, Yasha Prashadat Nagati Kutopi Dhayam. You see, without the mercy of the spiritual master, one cannot make any advancement. So we are absolutely dependent on Guru's mercy. Absolutely dependent. Without his blessing, we go nowhere. Questions more?
Uzticējis viņam un pilnīgi atdod savu dzīvi, tam, ja viņš tagad kļūst par tavu, kā saka, tavu, jā. Un cik daudz ir šīs ciešanas? Kā tas ir? Kad ciešanas tiek dotas tāpēc, lai tu attīstītos, it kā tev tiek sludināts, ka tu esi ļoti laimīgs, jā. Un tu visu laiku dziedi un slavē to kuru, jā. Bet dzīvē reāli situācijās ir šīs ciešanas, caur kurām tu it kā audz. Nu, kā tas ir, tās ciešanas tev ir dotas tīri karmiski, vai tu augtu vēl vairāk savā apziņā? Nu, es nezinu, kā tu nav. tas jautājums. Tās tiešām tik daudz var spēlēt, vai tas ir Dieva dots, vai tas tikai ir karmiski.
When someone surrenders to God, and gives his life to God, but he still continues to suffer. Like here, we emphasize this happiness, singing and being and glorifying the Lord. But is the suffering helps us like to develop, to advance? And is the suffering only from karma, or is arranged by the Lord?
For one who completely surrenders to the Lord, whatever suffering he endures is not karma. It's special blessings of the Lord upon him to help him become more and more surrendered. Questions more? Now, if we're not fully surrendered, then that karma does act. But the good news is this. Actually, everything that happens is the mercy of Krishna. Even if I'm undergoing some suffering in this world, just like you are suffering now, isn't it? You are suffering. So, whatever suffering you're undergoing, that is the special kindness of Krishna. Because there's one thing that Krishna wants, and there's nothing else will satisfy him. There's one thing he wants very, very, very much. And that is, Krishna wants your love. In fact, that's the very reason that you exist as a living being. Krishna is emanating you from himself for the purpose of having a loving relationship with you. That's why you exist. So everything that you're undergoing in this life, from every step, the time you were a little baby, a young girl, a teenager, every step, everything that's been happening to you is the special blessings of Krishna. He's simply been trying to induce you to come back to his service. Even the things that happen under the law of karma, are also under the direction of Krishna. Karma acts under the direction of Krishna. So whether you're suffering under the influence of the material nature, which is a karmic type of suffering, or you're a fully surrendered devotee who is suffering under the spiritual energy, all arrangements, everything that's happening to you is the special blessings of Krishna upon you. You simply have to learn how to recognize the mercy of Krishna, which is showering upon you at every minute. The only reason you're in anxiety right now is due to your blindness. All you have to do is stated in the Vedas is tamasi ma jyotir gama. All you have to do is come out of the darkness and into the light. You do not have to change your external material situation. All you have to do is adjust your consciousness. It's like flipping a switch on the wall and bringing the light on. So there's a light in your heart. But right now the switch is turned off. And therefore you're in anxiety. But if you simply flip that switch on, then you will realize your eternal, blissful, knowledgeable self. But the difficulty is because you're in the dark, you can't find the switch. But someone who knows the switch, he can flip it on for you. That is called the spiritual master, Sri Guru. He can flip the switch on for you. And when that light comes on, then you can see everything. You'll become a spiritually enlightened being. And your days of anxiety and fear and agitation will be long gone. So if you carefully read the books of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, he will make sure that your switch always stays turned on. Prabhupada will make sure that your switch is always turned on. So, are there any more questions? Any more questions?
When we come into contact with pure knowledge, how can we cease to speculate, like, so that there not be any mix? We speculate and
Yes. So, when you come in contact with pure knowledge, you must hear it faithfully. Yasya deve para bhaktir tata deve tata guru tushyayate ketita prakash prakashmante mahatmanah. Unto those souls who have unflinching faith in the words of Sri Guru and in the words of Sri Krishna, all the imports of Vedic knowledge are automatically revealed. Unto those who have unflinching faith, in the words of Guru and Krishna, all the imports of Vedic knowledge are revealed to them. So if you have any doubts, you should bring them forward so they become defeated by the spiritual master. And then once those doubts are eradicated, you can hear with complete conviction and complete total faith. And by doing that, then you will realize all the Vedic wisdom. So to hear faithfully is very important. It does not mean blind faith. It means faith built on intelligence. Our philosophy is, our Krishna consciousness movement means we have philosophy and religion. If we have philosophy without religion, that is mental speculation. And if we have religion without philosophy, that is sentimentalism. And sometimes it just becomes blatant fanaticism. Like, you know, very, like, blatant means complete, total fanaticism. Like flying an airplane into the World Trade Center. So we actually require to be philosophical. That means we use our, we have an open-minded intelligence. To understand things very clearly as they are. And at the same time, we have faith in the Supreme Being. So if you combine these two things, religion and philosophy, then you will be free from the tendency for mental speculation. And all the imports of Vedic knowledge will become very clearly discernible for you, or visible. Questions more? Questions? Well, you know what? I have one policy. That is, if you don't ask me questions, I will ask you questions. It's much easier to be the one who asks the question than it is to be the one who is asked the question. So if you don't want to be on the hot seat, then you would be smart to ask me some more questions. Because I'm getting ready now to ask one of you questions. I will pick one of you and begin to interrogate you. All right, so I'm ready now. No one has come up with a question to hold me back from doing this. So now I'm going to go after you. All right, this lady here sitting on the bed, I have a question for you. If I ask you who you are, what will you say?
Human being.
Mm. Do you know, according to the law of karma, that you have transmigrated through 8,400,000 different species of life? Although you have a human body now, you have not always had a human body. You have had many other types of forms. So how you can say you're a human being? Just like today, you have a very... Just like today, you have a very nice shirt with leaves on it. Are you that shirt? So you feel like leaves today?
Shouldn't you be scalapas?
Today you are leaves.
Like in the autumn, in the fall.
Ah, yes. So, are you something different in the spring? You're not the same person in the spring. You turn into a flower in the spring. And in the winter you become snow.
Feeling is different, but the essence is the same. Like
the essence is the same. So, are you that body, or are you something different than your body? It's all together. Hmm. So, are you together with that shirt?
The shirt is not the body.
It's different. So what would you say if I told you you're wearing that Latvian woman's body just like you're wearing that shirt? It's the same thing.
Maybe I could agree sometimes.
You could agree?
Yeah.
You can agree with that? She does. So, you are actually a spiritual being. That body is just that woman's, that Latvian woman's body is just a covering. Just like you're wearing that leaf shirt. And tomorrow you'll wear a different shirt. So you're also wearing that Latvian woman's body. It's simply a garment that you're wearing right now. Very good. All right. Does anybody have any questions?
Как избавиться вот от условных обозначений от этих всех? Как легче нам избавиться? Вот не то, что, скажем, я там латыш, да, я там такой, я.
What is the easiest way to get free from those designations, like Latvian, Russian?
Mm. The easiest way to get free of the false designation. Is to find out who you actually are. That answer is given in the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Jivara Svarupa Hoy Krishnara Nityadath. The constitutional position of the living being is that he is the eternal servant of Krishna. You are part and parcel of God. He is eternal. You are eternal. He is full of bliss, you are full of bliss. He is full of knowledge, you are full of knowledge. So by understanding who you actually are, you can easily give up the false designation. So you have to hear from Guru. You have to hear from the devotees. And you have to hear from the scriptures who you actually are. And then by the mercy of Guru, by the mercy of the devotees, and by the mercy of the scriptures, you will come out of the illusion of bodily consciousness. And you will realize your eternal spiritual nature.
sakrīsiet savu mūžīgo, garīgo tā būtību.
Questions more?
Ну, не могли бы немножко такой вопрос. Вот как мы вообще повторяем святое имя? Как мы повторяем? Гуру Бру, услуга Мангала, Арати, там, короче, Джапа, как мы вообще читаем Махамад? Ну, хорошо, неплохо, правильно. Есть какие-то
You were on Mangalarati and Java time and you heard how we chant, how we are chanting Hare Krishna. Maybe you can point out some mistakes. How are we chanting with some mistakes, like
Actually, your chanting is very nice. But nice is not good enough. You have to make it perfect. To make it perfect, you have to always remember the 10 offenses against the holy name. You have to make sure that you're really taking shelter of Krishna's name. It's not that you're just doing it externally on your lips. Within your heart, you must factually submit yourself to Guru and Krishna completely and totally. Without holding anything back. If you hold anything back, you will be held back. So don't hold anything back. Submit yourself completely to Sri Guru and Sri Krishna. And then your chanting will be perfect. As I said in the beginning, your chanting is very nice. But nice is not good enough. You have to make it perfect. Questions more?
But he says he has a human body, he is a human being. So, as a human being, what is the purpose of that human being?
So, Mataji has asked a very nice question. What is the purpose of having a human body?
Is it perfect to have a human body? Or what is the requirement to make it perfect?
Is the human body perfect in itself, or is it something required to make it perfect? It is described in the Vedanta Sutra. Atato brahma jigyasa. Now you have a human body. You must utilize it for self-realization. So, human birth is a very good thing. We're very happy that you have a human body. Because you can hear about Krishna. You can chant Hare Krishna. Have you ever seen a dog come to hear about Bhagavad Gita? You see? So having a human birth is a very good thing. Now you simply utilize that to reawaken the dormant love of God there within your heart.
mums ir vienkārši jāizmanto, lai apmierinātu to mūsu snaudošo mīlestību uz Dievu.
Vedanta Sutra tells us that now that you have a human body, you must utilize that human intelligence to understand who you are. We gave a very well attended lecture last night at the temple. That lecture was called Who Are You? Because we know everything in this world. We know about mathematics. We know about geology. We know about astronomy. We know about geography. We know about meteorology. Meteorology, the science of weather, the weather. There's so many things we know in this world. But there's one thing we forgot to find out. Who am I? So what is the purpose of all these apartments of knowledge? If I don't even know who I am. You see? How foolish the modern-day society is. They don't tell you who you are. They ask you in college, what do you want to major in? But they don't even tell you who you are. They are cheating you. The government is cheating you. The teachers are cheating you. Everyone is cheating you. Because they are not giving you knowledge of who you are. If you don't know who you are, there's no way you can be happy. Therefore, the first business is, who am I? Find out the answer to that question. And then start to think, act, and speak in terms of who you actually are. If you do so, I guarantee you, you will taste unlimited happiness. You will experience so much nectar that you cannot imagine that such nectar could even be experienced by even the most successful, happy person in this world. Even beyond the demigods and the heavenly planets. Why are you running after heavenly pleasure? Don't you know that the pleasure of Krishna Bhakti is thousands and millions of times more pleasurable than the pleasure of the heavenly planet? Do you know that? Do you know that? So, are there any questions?
Es gribēju pajautāt par tām zināšanām, ko dod skolas. Tagad ļoti, teiksim, arī ir aktuāli mācīt, kā sevi iepazīt arī tāds visāds astroloģijas un, teiksim, arī vēdiskās astroloģijas, jā. Bet tas, cik es saprotu, tas tomēr nav tas, kas tomēr ir tā, tas ir mēs atkal it kā aptajām Dievu, aptajām, jā. Un it kā mēs ar savām zināšanām atkal cenšamies sevi saprast, bet kuru māca mums tagad pavisam, ka mums ir tikai sevi jāatot Dievam, un arī no tām zināšanām sevi nepētīt, tā?
No tām zināšanām sevi?
Sevi nepētīt, sevi neizprast, teiksim, caur astroloģijas zināšanām, bet faktiski sevi atdot pilnībā, uzticot skolotājiem, uzticot augstākam spēkam, no tā sajust, kas es esmu.
But nowadays we teach also many like many subjects how to like how to study oneself like astrology, how to like study ourselves like look in ourselves. And but you told us we just surrender to God and the Guru, submit ourselves to God, and in such a way get know who we are. But so this means that we have to give up studying ourselves with astrology and Vedic
horoscope.
Yeah. Actually, the astrological science is the original astrological science is part of the Vedas. The it is a sideline activity that can be utilized by those who are already awakened. Your first business is to wake up. If you're still sleeping, then your practice of astrology will be faulty. Your readings will not be accurate. So first of all, become a spiritually awakened being. That's the number one thing. Then once you've done that, you can take up any field of science and become perfect in it. First things first. First know who you are. And then talk about astrology.
Well, astrology and all that, she's gonna learn and see who she is, but that's all temporary. It doesn't solve the problems of the life.
The stars will come and the stars will go. The stars also have a temporary existence. When Mahavishnu inhales, all the stars will be destroyed. And all the astrological laws will become null and void. The laws of astrology only function temporarily. But if you surrender to Krishna, then you become eternally protective. The astrological laws function under the what is known as the exterior energy. Krishna's mercy, however, acts within the energy known as the interior energy or internal energy. If you go fully within to the internal energy, you will transcend the influence of the external energy. In other words, when you fully surrender to Krishna, you are no longer under the laws of astrology. So the science becomes irrelevant in regards to a person who has fully surrendered to Krishna. Questions more?
Does Krishna consciousness mean the same as Jesus Christ, Christ consciousness?
Yes.
She hears and she understands she is Christian and she understands that it's practically the same. only the name is different.
Yes, but you have to be a real Christian.
Yeah,
not a pseudo Christian who eats meat.
Pseudo
means artificial.
The
Bible says, "Thou shalt not kill." But the Christians are very expert at opening slaughterhouses and killing the animals. Yes. They say thou shalt not commit adultery, but we also see the Christians, they engage in so many adulterous activities. But that's... So, any other questions? If not, we can have another kirtan. There's no other question, we can do some more chanting. Question? Okay.
How can we recognize that living being, that it's a sleeping living being that is within us, and how can we reawaken those feelings that are not
by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Very simple thing. Just chant Hare Krishna. Any other questions?
Скажем, такой момент, когда, ну, человек без сознания, да, и кто-то читает Махамантру, и он воспринимает это, вот, эту мантру.
If someone is unconscious, lying unconscious, and someone else chants Hare Krishna, how does it influence the
If a devotee of the Lord chants Hare Krishna, and a person who is not Krishna conscious hears that mantra, then the seed of bhakti is planted in their heart.
Unconscious.
Like he in a coma.
Yes.
He is blessed by the power of the holy name. Even if he's unconscious, that the power of the name has an impact on him, even though he may be unconscious. If the name is uttered near him, or the vibration actually reaches him, then it will have an uplifting effect on that person.
Еще один можно вопрос? Да. Вот скажем, мы болеем, да? Какая-то болезнь инфекционная, у нас там эти всякие бактерии, да, ну, почему мы болеем эти? И когда мы повторяем Махамантру Хари Кришна, то мы как бы даем им тоже совершенствоваться этим бактериям, да, они тоже развиваются от вибрации. Вибрация происходит.
What is that?
Они тоже прогрессируют так же. Ну, конечно, смешно выглядит.
We are sick and we have, you know, like some microbial germs.
Yes, microbial germs are also blessed, yeah.
Когда мы повторяем, эта вибрация идет, и они тоже.
They are blessed. Yeah, microbial germs are also blessed, yes. They become much quicker to the human form now. If you chant Hare Krishna to the microbial germs,
yes, under the condition of bacteria,
they become more quickly to the human form. So you should chant 24 hours a day? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Any other questions?
You do not know there are so many microbial insects in here.
Guys, I don't doubt this room.
Whole room is full.
It's a mistake, I feel.
So when we chant this sound vibration of the holy names and Bhagavad Gita, they benefit.
Questions more? Okay, now we will have kirtan. Maharaji, you can lead them. Maharaji will lead kirtan.